You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Friday, October 23rd. This is The Christian Commute. I am your host, Seth Dunn, and you're riding with me to the ATM because I have to get money to get into this football game. Cartersville High School is about to trounce Hiram, or whoever they're running out to play us. We're going to beat them like 50 to nothing. Anyway, I need to get there before the first quarter. Got to get there on time so I can watch meaningful football. Taking my kids. My kids like to go to the football game. They don't care about watching football. They care about taking the rest of the money I have left after I buy tickets and spending it on concessions. I'm wearing a pink shirt because it was Breast Cancer Awareness Day at work, so everybody was supposed to wear pink. And I have never, ever fit in less at the Sketch gas station than today when I wore my slacks. I guess these are technically khakis. Are these slacks or khakis? These are khakis. My khakis and my pink Nautica polo shirt. So now I'm going back to the preppiness that is Cartersville, where I'll fit in my pink Nautica shirt to take my kids to a football game. Speaking of football games, it's Friday, and that means it's time for Brother William's Alabama pick. And he just sent it in the nick of time. Alabama. Oh, and Brother William just noted that he voted for Kanye West today when he went to vote. Ha ha. Brother William says, Bama 49, Tennessee 27. Bama 49, Tennessee 27. Normally, I would say Brother William's given Tennessee too many points, but Alabama's defense is bad. You never know what Tennessee team you're going to get, because they've won a couple and they've lost a couple. I mean, Tennessee got beat by Kentucky, and everybody thought, oh, Tennessee's back. Then, then they got, I think they got beat by Kentucky badly. And Georgia, was it Georgia that beat them already? And then they beat South Carolina, but they shouldn't have. Tennessee really should have beaten Alabama last year or gotten close to it, but the quarterback fumbled the ball on the one, and they have the same terrible quarterback. So Brother William's pick of an Alabama victory by, what did he say? Was it 47-21? 26 points? 25 points? 26 points? I swear I'm going to count it. I'll believe that. No, it was 27. He said Tennessee was going to score 27. Is that what he said? Let me check it again. 49-27. So 23 touchdown margin, 22 points. I guess I'll buy that, Brother William. Alabama's defense is really bad. But that's my favorite game of the year because I'm from Tennessee. The third Saturday in October is a big deal for Tennessee and Alabama fans. So I'm looking forward to that on Saturday. But for now, it's time for high school football and the rest of the Christian commute. Today's show title, if I get to it, is called Ending the Operation. Ending the Operation. Oh, look at this. Someone has decided to drive his pickup truck and trailer in the left lane and just camp out right next to an 18-wheeler where nobody can get around. All right, I'm going to try a little maneuver here while I talk about today's show. This is going to be cutting it close. All right. Oh, yeah. I can make it. Hold on. There's two tanker trucks, and I'm going in between them. Woo! All right. See you later, slow drivers. Okay. Today I have a question in the inbox about Jesus and self-defense or defending the Christian faith with weapons. And that's from Frank. And then I have some new people in the hopper for next week. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. Today we continue in Mark chapter 8. Here we're talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. So if you will recall, Jesus is in the region of Dalmantha. And, you know what, speaking of mispronouncing things, yesterday I could not remember phileo, the Greek word for, that's the verb, phileo, to love. I could not remember that for anything. I was like, philo, phileo, couldn't do it. Anyway, Dalmantha. Did I write that down? Anyway, that's where Jesus is. I don't even know if that town's still there. Who cares? That's where Jesus is. And the Pharisees come out there and they begin to argue with Jesus. So he's getting more grief from the Pharisees. And they are seeking a sign from heaven. They want God himself to give some kind of sign from heaven to authenticate Jesus. Maybe they should have been there when he was baptized and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." But Jesus says, "Why does this generation seek a sign? No sign will be given." And the Pharisees are looking for, I guess, some kind of vision in the sky or something like that. Something that they can verify that, according to them, it meets the qualification for a sign. Jesus is already doing miracles, but that's not good enough for them. They want something further. They want a sign. And Jesus says, "Nope, you're not getting one." And then they leave. And they get in the Sea of Galilee. And they're going to go back across the Sea to get back across the Sea of Galilee to go to Bethesda. Bethsaida? Is it Bethesda? Bethsaida. Hold on, I gotta pass this truck. There's a guy, there's just litter going all out of the back of his pickup truck all over the freeway. How many Coke cans do you have back there? And he's flying too. I just don't want to be behind him. Get hit with a Coke can. So Jesus and his disciples leave that place and they get on their boat. They get on the Sea of Galilee and they're going to go across it. And then they realize they didn't pack enough food for the journey. They only have one loaf of bread among them. So the disciples are distraught about this. And Jesus says, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod." Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. Now, leaven is what makes bread rise when you bake it. If you don't have any bread, you end up with a communion wafer, unleavened bread. But leaven is what makes bread rise when you bake it. And Jesus is talking about an ingredient in bread, and he's saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. And the response to the disciples is, "Yeah, we don't have enough bread. We only got one loaf." Jesus is talking about something spiritual and using bread to make an example. They're worried about their immediate physical need that they forgot bread. And once again, Jesus is saying, "Guys, did you forget about the miracle of the loaves?" So Jesus reminds them about feeding the 5,000. He says, "How many loaves did we have left then?" And they answer. And then he says, "We just fed 4,000. How many loaves did we have left then?" And they answer. And he basically says, "When are you guys going to get it?" And he quotes the Old Testament. Specifically, I believe he's referring to Ezekiel 12. "Having eyes you don't see, and having ears you don't hear." It's more of an allusion to it than a quote. So if you go back to that particular chapter of Ezekiel, Jesus is talking to Ezekiel about how he lives, how he being Ezekiel, or God is talking to Ezekiel about how he lives among wicked people who, even though they have eyes they don't see and they have ears they don't hear, evil people, and the house of Israel at the time is wicked. And Jesus is saying that to the disciples. He's trying to warn them about the house of Israel that's around them now or then. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. These are the people who say they're Israel, but they're blind and deaf and they don't appreciate Jesus and they're set up against him. And instead of recognizing this, and this is what Jesus is trying to say, beware of these people. The disciples are worried about, oh, we only have one loaf of bread. You got a guy with you who miracles bread and stops storms by telling the wind to stop. And they're just not paying attention to what's in front of their face. And with that, we'll end the Bible chapter review. So this Toyota truck, he still has garbage flying out of the back of his bed. And he's past me again. He's flying. I bet he's going 90. Man, he's going. All right, well, get far enough away where your garbage doesn't hit me. All right, now let's go to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? You can write to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. Or you can dial 470-315-0875, the Christian Commute Roadside Assistance Line. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. Send me your questions about theology or apologetics and tell me where you're from. Keep it short enough for me to memorize. Today's question is another one from Frank, and he's asking me what Luke chapter 22 verse 36 means. I'm going to answer because he took the time to write in, but Frank, usually you can just wait till I get to Luke. So, from time to time, people write into the inbox and they'll say, well, what does this verse mean? Or how do you interpret this scripture? Well, the Bible chapter review is the first part of the show. That's where we review the scriptures and talk about what it means. So, eventually, I will get to Luke. Let's see, Mark, Matthew, Luke. So, it's a long way off, but I'll get there. Somebody, and I don't remember who it was, wrote me about Romans a couple weeks ago. And I just said, here's the link to wherever I copied Romans. But I have not covered Luke yet, so let me just answer this question. And I guess I will cover it again when I get to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. That's when Jesus says, whoever doesn't have a sword, sell his coat or his cloak and buy a sword. And the disciples say, here are two swords. And he says, that's enough. And Luke is saying, some people use this verse to justify, or not necessarily justify, but advocate for taking up arms to defend the Christian faith. I don't know if he's making a Christian army and conquering. Ah! This guy, another piece of garbage. Just missed the Coke can. What a horrible person. What makes a person so horrible? Just throws trash in the back of his truck and uses I-75 as his dumpster with trash flying out the back at 90 miles an hour. Do you know if you're going 90 miles an hour, which this guy is doing? By the way, he's driving at an unsafe speed. Litter aside. Do you know if you're going 90 miles an hour and trash flies out of the back of your truck, do you know how fast that trash is going? 90 miles an hour. Do you want to get hit with a 90 mile an hour Coke can? I don't. Me neither. What was I talking about? Luke. Okay. So, remember the Crusades in the Middle Ages? People would make up Christian armies and they would march out to try and conquer Israel in the name of Jesus. So that they didn't walk into Israel and try to witness to the Muslims with the gospel. And by the way, good luck. They'll try to cut your head off. They'll do it now. They'll do it then. We're just going to go take over with an army. So if you don't know your history, you can always go watch that Ridley Scott movie, Kingdom of Heaven. So I don't know if Frank means people use that to justify having a legitimate army to go conquer in the name of Christ, or just having organized armed resistance. If somebody comes to persecute your faith, you shoot them or stab them or fight them. And he's referring to this verse here, Luke 22, verse 36. Well, let's just look at the whole context, shall we? And by the way, right after this scripture happens. You cut to the next scene, if you will, and Simon's cutting off somebody's ear with a sword. So this is the Last Supper, and Judas is about to betray Jesus. And Jesus is making it clear that he's about to be handed over for crucifixion. And he says, y'all, remember when I sent you two by two and said, don't take a money bag, don't take a purse, don't take a bag, don't take a coat, just go out from town to town and preach? We covered that in our Bible chapter review not too long ago, when Jesus tells them that in Mark. He also tells them to do it in Luke. It's the same story. He says, now I tell you, take a money bag with you. Pack your bags, take a money purse, and pack your bags. And if you don't have a cloak, sell it and get a sword. And he says, because I'm about to be handed over. And then after that, Luke cuts to the Garden of Gethsemane. And indeed, Judas comes and betrays him. And they come to arrest Jesus. And while they're arresting Jesus, one of his disciples pulls out a sword and cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. And Jesus says, stop, enough of this. Picks up the ear and heals the guy's ear. And then he says, you guys could have arrested me any time when I was out in the daylight preaching at the temple, but you come here in the dark to arrest me. And then he allows himself to be taken away. His disciples wanted to fight, but he said, nope, don't fight. And he let himself be taken away because he knows he has to be crucified to fulfill his mission. And that's what he's asking in the garden. If there's any other way, God, that we can do this, let's do it that way. But if not, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus is asking his Father, can you take this cup from me? But if not, I'll drink it down. So go back to what Jesus said about carrying swords. And his disciples say, here are two swords. And he says, that's enough. Is he talking about an army? Is he talking about some kind of formal defense force? Or is he talking about personal self-defense? And we already know that self-defense is justifiable. We know that from the Old Testament law. What's he talking about? He's talking about provisions for a journey. A sword is a provision for a journey. If you guys go on a long trip, you take your pistol with you. I remember the first time I went physically to my seminary in New Orleans. So I had taken classes online, and I had taken classes at the Extension Center in Marietta, but I was going to go to a workshop in New Orleans. New Orleans is a dangerous city. I took my gun with me. So when you're going on a long trip, do you pack a gun? I'm just asking. Do you pack a bag? You pack some snacks? Do you take your wallet? Yes, you do. So when Jesus was sending his disciples out in their own home region, in the villages around where they were from in Israel, to preach repentance to their countrymen, he said, don't take any provisions with you. Whenever you get to a town, somebody in that town is going to take care of you. And if they don't, shake the dust off your feet and leave. But now the mission is about to be extended beyond their home region. Furthermore, their home region has become deadly, deadly hostile to Jesus. In fact, they're going to kill him. And we find after the crucifixion that his disciples are hiding for fear of the Jews. So following Jesus is about to become deadly, yet we still have the Great Commission. We still have the responsibility to go out and preach. But we don't have the expectation, or at least I should say the disciples don't have the expectation, and to some degree we don't have the expectation, of going somewhere and being accepted by the people and being given a hearing. So don't look at the swords, Frank, in isolation. Look at the sword, look at the money bag or the purse, and look at the bag you've packed with your clothes in it. Jesus before said, go out, don't pack anything for the journey. Now he's saying, be prepared for the journey. And the reason I brought up taking the gun to New Orleans, because a gun is a part of what you'd pack to be on a journey, because you're away from home. You're not in your house with your door locked and your guard dog out front or out back. You're exposed. You could be, and it could be a bear or a tiger or whatever, a lions and tigers and bear. Oh my, it could be an animal attacking you. I'm not going to get to the show topic, sorry. It could be an animal attacking you and you need a gun or a sword. And that they didn't have guns, they had swords. I keep saying gun because a handgun is the modern day equivalent of a sword. It's a sidearm. So they're to take a sword just as they're to take a money bag and pack some extra clothes for where they're going. And remember, the disciples didn't just stay in Jerusalem forever. They went out to all different regions. Remember, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. They went out and preached, and they went on journeys. And Paul, even though Paul is not in the picture yet, he went on missionary journeys. So Jesus is saying, prepare yourself for a journey and make sure you have what is necessary for a long and hostile journey. And for that, you're going to need a sword. Two, what do you do with a sword? You defend yourself. So Jesus is saying, be ready to defend yourself on a journey from an attack. Just as much as he's saying, make sure you have some money on a journey. And he's not going to be around to miracle bread for them anymore. So with that, I'll end the Bible chapter review. And since I'm so close to the ATM, I will just not do today's planned show title. It was called Ending the Operation. I will kick that can down the road. I'll cover that Monday, Lord willing. Unless I think of a better show topic. So let's see. Have we covered everything? I did the Alabama football update. I talked about the sketch gas station and wearing a pink shirt. I did the Bible chapter review. I took a question from the inbox. Oh, I haven't given a Beth Moore update in a while. I'm still waiting for the cruise to be officially advertised. So if I haven't noticed that it's a for sure thing yet, I think they're waiting to see how the next cruise season plays out with COVID and whatnot. And I don't know, maybe Beth Moore will do an Alaska cruise or something. So I still have my eyes peeled for the next Beth Moore cruise. But for now, I've got my refund and the money is just sitting in the savings account. And I've got credit sitting in my Southwest account where I can buy another flight. Just waiting. So that's the Beth Moore update. And with that, I'll leave you as I enter Cartersville ready for football. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. As always, God bless. And as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.